Welcome to another edition of Hawk Off the Press, brought to you by the Gazette and On Iowa Sports. I'm your host, John Seppi. Excited to welcome back to the podcast Tom Kakert of Hawkeye Report and On3. Tom, thanks for joining me.
It's great to be here, John.
So plenty to talk about ahead of what's always an important month in the recruiting calendar. Let's start kind of in the near future here with this weekend. Seems to be a little bit of a pivot that Iowa's recruiting staff has had to make. Yeah. You know, with a, correct me if I'm wrong here, but a four-star DB and a three-star wide receiver, both committing to other Big Ten schools a week before they were going to be visiting Iowa. So where does that leave the Hawkeyes for this weekend and the first opportunity here to get some recruits on campus for an official?
Yeah, it was actually. It was actually four players that were supposed to come in this weekend, and all four of them committed elsewhere. So that makes you have to pivot pretty quickly. But that's just part of the recruiting game, and I think some of the fans were pretty anxious, frustrated, whatever, about this week, the news from last weekend, and that maybe because Iowa has traditionally kind of loaded up at the end of the month, and it's with that big street fest thing that they do in Iowa City, and they traditionally just kind of waited, and you saw a lot of schools front-loading this time around and trying to get prospects on campus and get that done sooner rather than later. So, yeah, there are four guys, wide receiver, two D linemen, and a safety that all committed elsewhere. So Iowa has kind of recalibrated, I guess is the right word. And they have three, right now, we should set the table. They have nine commitments, five of them on the offensive line, quarterback, wide receiver. So they're 25th, according to On3 nationally for this class, and seventh in the Big Ten. So they're sitting pretty well right now, especially with that offensive line class, which I think would probably be considered to be one of, if not the best, offensive line class in the country right now. So that's the good. But now you've hit this spot where you're trying to bring some guys in for official visits this month. And instead of doing one big weekend, they're going to do three weekends, with the last one being obviously the big one. June 20th weekend is the big weekend. They've kind of recalibrated though, with three guys, two on the defensive line, Sawyer Jurewski, a big kid from Eden, Minnesota, who they just recently offered after camping. He's coming in. And Corey House, a defensive end from Memphis, three-star. He's going to be coming in this weekend, along with Isaiah McMillan, a cornerback from Katy, Texas, is coming in. So you can see their emphasis when you look at who they're bringing in this month. It's a defensive line. It's cornerbacks, a lot of cornerbacks. That's been kind of the focus. Linebacker, always a focus. So you're kind of seeing where they're going right now.
And it seems like with kind of losing a couple guys before getting the chance to have them on campus, it was only a couple of years ago that Iowa went almost perfect on their official visits in June. And maybe it's a little easy to take that for granted. But you know, that eventually things are going to kind of ebb and flow there. And we're kind of seeing it, you know, maybe ebb a little bit this year in terms of, you know, the recruiting fortune just not being quite at the same level. That's really hard to sustain like what they had a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and the dynamics of everything have changed in the last couple of years, especially right now with the house settlement pending. And I know we're going to talk about that later, but just with that reality and the way that coaches around the country are going to approach recruiting now in the month of June, it's traditionally kind of been a big month for the last few years, but boy, it seems like people have really front-loaded to try to get this done. And now you can, you know, really start to get down to the nuts and bolts of offering some real incentives financially for kids to commit. And I think kids are taking that bag that floats in front of them and just saying, hey, I'll take that. And here we go. So, and that's just kind of how I think it's going to go right now, is that some guys are just going to be content with getting it done and getting it over with, as opposed to taking 3, 4, 5 visits this month.
And getting the dollar amount that you know right away versus the one you might have to wait for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, there's probably coaches. I'm not saying I know that this is happening, but I'm sure there are coaches who are saying, hey, we'll give you this much, but if we can't get a commit today, that dollar amount might not be there, or it might not be the same. So in a week, if you go on another visit. So that's probably going on too. So that's the nature of recruiting right now.
And then maybe a flip opportunity with a Northern Illinois commit, Vincent Smith, it sounds like, who sounds like he might also be taking an official this month to the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, he's coming the following weekend, and he's from Illinois. He's currently committed to Northern Illinois, but it sounds like, he's 6'2", 220 athlete that could plug in a lot of different places defensively, but probably linebacker. But he's a guy that's going to, potentially, I think, flip his commitment. They've also got another kid from Georgia, Billy Wivoda from Georgia, who is going to be coming in that next weekend as well. So one of the things that's been interesting with this class is that Iowa is expanding the map again, because for several years it's just been, hey, Midwest guy, the footprint hasn't been very expansive. This year we're seeing them get down to Arizona, back into Texas, Tennessee, Georgia. The Northeast is kind of still not as active as it once was, but some of these other places, you're seeing Iowa get back in the game a little bit more. So I find that really interesting that they're starting to kind of expand the map a little bit more now.
And it helps too that you've got air connectivity to a lot of those places when you're talking about, Phoenix has the nonstop on two different airlines. You've got the nonstops to Denver. These are places that you're a few states over, geographically speaking, but families can still get back to. And I'm sure it helps too in terms of, for Arizona, for example, to have Devin Kennedy commit and that be so far seemingly a positive experience, and that kind of that I'm sure does not go unnoticed among Arizona coaches.
Yeah, and LeVar Woods played down there for several years. He knows a lot of people down there as well. So that, I think those things are going to help down there. Texas, you get that direct flight from Dallas into Cedar Rapids. Atlanta, you can get that direct flight into Cedar Rapids. So those are big things where parents are able to be able to get there without having to take two flights. So yeah, I think this is going to be a really interesting month to see. And also, the other thing that I think's also very interesting is, how do you have that blend of a class between portal and high school kids? Because there might be some positions where you're kind of really young, but you're going to lose your most experienced guys. Now, do you need to go out and portal next year so you don't take a safety or a defensive end, because you're going to have to probably hit the portal to get one or two players to fill that instead. So you, instead of going for a high school kid, you're just going to hold off and go portaling.
Yeah, because you look at some of these positions and it's going to get, considerably younger at some of, seems like we're already seeing that a little bit in terms of after a really big 2024 senior class, but the positions that didn't get a lot younger going in 2025 seem to be getting a lot younger in 2026. And that's an interesting consideration too, because you're making the 2026 high school recruiting decisions now. What the portal has to offer,
you don't know.
Yeah, not till really November, December, where you're at least start to get an idea in November. And officially in December. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's an interesting calculus there.
Yeah, it does. And then, later in the month on the 20th, that's their big, big, big weekend where you're going to have all the commits on campus. So all the linemen, Nielsen, Parliament, Gene Reardon, Marcelo Vitti, DeAndre Smith, Bradley Schaefer, Colin Witters, Cash Rare, who I know you want to talk about, Owen Linder, all those guys are going to be on campus, along with, I think, a pretty strong group of uncommitted guys, probably led by Julian Manson, the son of Jason Manson. And he's a linebacker, 4-star kid. We've got him ranked really high on three. Super athlete. He could play just about anywhere. He could be a great tight end if he wanted to be. I mean, he's just a special athlete. And I know, talking to Mason Woods, that he's, working on him a little bit, but, he's going to make his own decision. But I think I was in a pretty good position with Julian. They've got CJ Hester, a 4-star cornerback from Florida that's coming in. Kayson Thomas, a linebacker from out Western Iowa, 3-star kid. He's a guy that they're after pretty heavily. Darian Jones, who's a cornerback from Omaha, who's going to make his announcement on July 4th. So he's Nebraska, Iowa, Iowa State's involved. So I think that's going to be an interesting decision. He's a really, really good cornerback. Preston Fritzl, a tight end from Ohio, a 3-star kid. He's kind of doing the tour this month of all the different places. I think he was at Notre Dame last weekend, maybe. Mason Lewis, a cornerback, 3-star kid from Arizona. He's going to be visiting. Jermaine Polk, Ohio cornerback, a 3-star kid. And then defensive end, Jeremiah Benson from Michigan. Now that's, of course, hoping that all those guys don't commit before that visit weekend, which is kind of the risk you're going to run right now with guys and trying to, trying to keep them on available to you. But I think most of those guys are going to at least make the trip.
Yeah, and that is the interesting calculus here, with this weekend being the prime example of, okay, visiting for now, put a little bit of an asterisk on that. Uh-huh. It seems like with Manson, that could, offensively, it seems like this 2026 class has a lot of exciting pieces. It seems like Manson, if he commits, seems like he could kind of be maybe the defensive centerpiece, for lack of a better term, of this kind of 2026 group potentially.
Yeah, I think so. He is, he's an explosive athlete, and he's different. And I think he's a high impact player that can do a lot. So I think they're hopeful that they can get him, but it's a process. You got to recruit him and got to sell him. I wouldn't say it's a lock, but I think it's, Iowa's in pretty good shape with him, and it's going to be tough for him to say no to Iowa and walk away from his dad's alma mater, where his dad is working and part of the program. So I think that's going to be tough for him to do. So we'll see what happens, but it's interesting. There's no running back, it's kind of emerged. I think they're just, but that may be something with, like, maybe the new coach, Omar Young, wants to see some guys,
mm-hmm.
and, find his own guys and evaluate some guys on film, or see some guys in camp this month. Because there'll be some more guys that emerge that they offer from camp too. So it's a crazy busy month recruiting wise for Iowa football.
And kind of a good reminder there too, that, even though Iowa has oftentimes had the recruiting kind of wrapped up for a class pretty soon after June, it doesn't necessarily always have to be that. You know, you think back to, you know, Xavier Wampa, for example, is what I think a December commitment.
Yep.
So, you know, you've got time where, okay, even if there isn't, you know, to your point, a running back, you still got a while until, you know, signing day in December. So, still relatively early. Granted, when you get the work done in advance, I think that certainly helped Iowa the last couple of years to get a little bit of a head start or more of a head start on kind of those other classes. But other thing there to keep in mind. You were mentioning Cash Herrera. You know, he seems to be continuing to get recruiting interest. It seems like more than just Iowa is aware of what, you know, athletic talent he has. What do you kind of see as his kind of current recruiting situation?
Well, and I think he saw that Iowa has been pretty open about the fact that they were looking to take potentially two quarterbacks, and that may his may change his calculus as well. You know, it's like if you know, the old Kirk Ferentzism, like, are we married or are we dating, you know, or holding hands or whatever, you know, and you may be looking at like, hey, maybe Iowa's kind of stepping out on me a little bit. I didn't think I was going to be part of a two quarterback class. Thus far, Iowa hasn't been able to get another quarterback on the hook. So as long as that, I think as long as that doesn't happen, I think he's probably going to stick. But if they got another quarterback, I think there's a chance he looks around.
And then you were mentioning overall recruiting class ranked 25th. A lot can change with that ranking in the next month. Yeah. But it seems like, kind of to your point earlier, that this class for this time of year, there's a lot to be happy about in terms of what they've gotten to at this point in the class of 2026.
Yeah, with that offensive line class in particular, with, you know, Linder, Witters, Nielsen, Parliament, Reardon. I was afraid they weren't going to be able to take Reardon because they just wouldn't have room for five in this class, but they were able to do it. And so it's a big class. I know Vitti's has had interest from Michigan State too. So he's still kind of in demand. It's a solid foundational class, but I think they want to ramp up that DN, D-line, D-tackle positions, and the defensive backfield. I think they feel pretty good about the future at linebacker right now between the three guys that redshirted this past year and then Cooney and Goucher as the true freshmen. I think they feel good about those five for, you know, kind of an extended future. But, you know, they're always going to add in a few. But I think they really want to get some corners and develop those guys and also kind of stock up that line again on the defensive side.
And then not so much a 2026 recruiting question, but just a overall, you know, where we are as we record this on June 4th, kind of with the caveat that things could change any minute, any hour. As we're recording this, still no approval of the House versus NCAA settlement. Still seeking that final approval. The settlement terms would take effect on July 1st. So if I can do my math right, I think that's 27 days away.
Yes.
As we record this, it seems, and a lot of money at play too, with $20.5 million for each athletic department to figure out, you know, well, a lot of the figuring out has already been happening, but you need this to actually get approved before you can actually pull the trigger. This seems to be a big wrench that's kind of getting thrown into every athletic department's kind of plans when, you know, let's say things get approved on this Friday. I'm just, you know, don't take anything from this, you know, just throwing this out as just a day, you know. You've got then what, 3-4 weeks to quickly scramble ahead of all this. You know, it seems to be quite the wild card here that everyone's working with kind of in what's already a busy recruiting month.
Yeah, it is like you're flying blind sometimes with this stuff. And you know, one of the frustrations, I think, from Kirk's perspective was it sounds like they're going to do away with that. They're going to kind of grandfather in the roster limits, where Kirk did the right thing for his guys. And in December, kind of let them know the guys that probably weren't going to be part of the 105, where some other places just held on to people. And now it's going to work out to their advantage because they're going to have extra bodies that they could have on the team and practices and different things, where Iowa's going to be at 105. And so it kind of stinks from that perspective for doing your guys a solid. But this, they have kicked this settlement date. I mean, I remember it was like April 1st or whatever, when they're sometime, or April 15th or something. It was
early April.
It was early April when they were going to have a settlement. And all the people in college basketball were trying to get committed to different places, and they were throwing crazy money around because they wanted to get it done before the house thing went live. And then you'd have to get all of those things approved through that clearinghouse, the Deloitte clearinghouse. And lo and behold, here we are. It's June 4th, and there's still no settlement, and people are still throwing money around, and there's no regulation. And I'm fearful that's what we're going to go into the season with. Is, yeah, the guys are going to get paid. Beth Getz has told me that. She's like, yeah, regardless of what the house settlement comes online or not, we're going to dish out that 20.5. How that happens, I don't know. But it's just, leave it to the NCAA. You know, they're incredibly dysfunctional, probably is the best term for it. It's just, college football is just dysfunctional between the college football playoff and this and everything else. Yeah, crazy.
And you could argue it's a strategic disadvantage too for Iowa. Not even just from it's obviously, you know, guy number 112 on the roster is not going to be getting necessarily many in-game snaps outside of special teams. Oh. But from a practice standpoint, you know, how you practice with what was at the end of, or at the beginning of last season, I think it's 131 players on the roster. And yeah. How you practice with 131 bodies versus 105 bodies in a physical sport like football, where injuries happen, that gets, and you, I think Kirk has talked about this too, about how there's no injury reserve. You know, it's not like this is the NFL where like you can just
sign guys off the street, you know, free agents off the street. Hey, Harry, he's back. Here's Joe Flacco. He's back, you know, after sitting on the sofa for half the year.
Yeah,
can't do that.
No, because they're students still. So with the semester, so you can't just, you know, fill in. So 105 is a strict, well, aside from now it being grandfathered in, but, you know, was operating under the assumption that 105 would be a strict 105, and they would, I'm sure, happily take an extra 15, even if it's not the, you know, 26 difference of guys. You know, even if it's an extra 10 guys, that would make a difference, you know, when you get into fall camp there.
Yeah, it's just extra bodies that you have to work with, take some of the reps off of some of your veteran guys, and now it's gone. I think the bigger impact, what you're seeing, and I think we saw some of that this year with a number of guys coming in early for Iowa. Was it 8-9 guys, I think, that came in this year early. This you're going to see more of that because your seniors are gone and they're moving on. So they're not going to practice with you. So you need bodies in the spring for just to have a functioning practice. I mean, you saw kind of that manifest itself with the Iowa offensive line in that final practice of the spring, where they had 10 bodies and that was it. And that's all they had to go through. There was no third team. It was just the first unit and the second unit, and there was not a lot there. And that's just one of the realities that we're going to face now in college athletics moving forward.
Well, Tom, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me on, John.
And thanks to our listeners for tuning in to another episode. If you enjoyed this, please feel free to rate, subscribe, tell your friends, etc. Until next time, we will talk Hawks later.
Not a Gazette subscriber? There's no better time to support local journalism. View our latest deals for print and digital offerings at thegazette.com/subscribe. Stay informed. Be empowered. Subscribe to The Gazette today at thegazette.com/subscribe.